One more day again. The thing that I'm going to talk about this morning was something that was brought up last night in our Bible study. Jim and Mary talked about whatever it was that I said at the beginning, and I didn't remember what I said, but apparently it was something about, some of you may not understand, and some of you may not believe, and all that. And it just brought to mind again that the work is finished whether somebody believes it or not. And there's such a thing as covering. And we don't really talk much about covering but there is a spiritual covering that goes, we are all covered by God and His Son. That's our covering. And we may not understand the fullness of the sin offering. We may not understand wherever the blood was put. We may not understand all of that. But it's important for me, just in terms of what I have seen and studied, that I have to share what I have studied and what I know. But I don't want anyone to feel inadequate if they don't happen to understand some aspect of it. It's important that you know that we are all covered by God. All we need to know is that whatever the need is, you are already there if the hunger is enough, if you can see the finished work. I can't cause anyone else to have the zeal that I have. I can maybe can have effect on it, I don't know. But the point of study is that if you're teaching, you can't take anybody any farther than you've gone in terms of apprehension. And so, but you have a responsibility as a teacher or a preacher to preach what you have seen. But it struck me that in here there may be a tendency to feel inadequate because you don't understand something. That's not the purpose of it. It's not the purpose for you to feel inadequate or you can't do it. The purpose is I have to say it because it's there, but the second understanding is at the core, whatever concept you have and whatever inability you have to love not the world, for instance, or to not you can't get rid of an opinion, or you don't know what it means to go to the fullness of faith, or all those things. The only thing I would ask of you is don't struggle with it. Don't try to understand it. Just say, Father, forgive me for not understanding. If all is right. You've got to put that caveat. But then everything has to go back on the Father. Everything has to go back on Him. My job only is to try to push you to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, as we've talked about so often. But it's hard to not feel inadequate if you don't understand something that's been talked about. But the exhortation is, don't. Just say, Father, forgive me. Now, does that communicate? This thing about covering is real. You know, we've talked a lot about it with the children. But it's also true for spiritual children. You are covered by the body, and you are covered. That's why it's our Father who art in heaven. It's not my Father. All right?
I'm thinking that sometimes when you refer to everything as digital, then that could engender some of that feeling because you know that you're not. end everything, but if it's digital, that means you should have to be all, but I know it doesn't mean that. But there's a little flavor in there of incompleteness when it's digital and you're not all white or all black.
Well, the only response is, if it's what I said, if it's something you don't see, then Father, forgive me. It's your business.
There's no blame. There's no fault.
No, I'm not
there's
trying to. Well, you only accept I blame you.
Well, I'll take that.
All right. Again, some may see that they're still in the world, but they're in the house, and the blood is on the doorpost. There's nothing that they can do. That's what they see. They see their sin is forgiven by the blood on the doorpost. And you know, spiritually, that's the darling infant. But that's okay. That may be all you ever see. What?
I just got a little flashback. We went to Cosmic Cafe last night to celebrate Lori's birthday. And they were having a session upstairs, a meditation session. And all of a sudden it broke out into primal scream therapy. There was a crowd up there screaming as loud as they could for 10 to 15 minutes of outrageous. I mean, I hear everybody scream loud. It was multiplied by a dozen.
Ever been to a Kundalini meeting?
Yeah. And I just never, I've done a little primal screaming, but not in mass like that. It was unbelievable. There's just something that was very powerful about their attempt to get down to this core that we are talking about, you know. I don't know where it came from, but you asked me.
All right.
It's interesting for the people there
eating.
Yeah,
interesting for people eating.
We wanted to call 911. It was really very weird. And what was funny is nobody in the restaurant knew what was going on. The waiters, the cashiers. I don't know what they're doing out there. Well, anyway.
Well.
Somehow it relates.
So some are in Egypt, still under the blood. Some have a vague understanding of Passover. And that they know that they somehow left the world. But they really know nothing about the law, nothing about the tabernacle. Therefore, the hoped for understanding is, or promised land is somewhere in the future. And that's what's where most of the world's Christianity is. They think the promise is somewhere in the future. Well, the automatic of believing the promise is somewhere in the future is what we call dispensationalism. That God is acting different in different times. And so, but that too, there's still the Jesus Christ is the essence of the important thing in their life. They may say, I'm second, but that's not our business. Now, they still live by principles. Try to have principles of Christian living. I still make fun of them, but it's not that they're not saved. It's where they are, and that is God's business. But I believe each of us can thank God that we do know something about the law. We do know something about the tabernacle. We do know something about the sin offering. We've started to apprehend the other offerings. We know a little bit about the trespass offering. And we know a little bit about access. And if something hits you that's being said that you don't feel has been part of your life, then it's not something to struggle over, it's something to repent over. And that's so hard to understand, because who would think because you spend your life, when there's something you don't understand, you try to figure it out. Well, that's not what you do with spiritual issues. What you do with spiritual issues is, Father, forgive me. That's probably the single most important thing I could say this morning about all the stuff that we've studied about repentance and the offerings and the sin offering lately. If you don't fully understand it, Father, forgive me. Now, how do you do that? How can you honestly say, Father, forgive me for not seeing? It may take some time to do that, but that is part of the answer to your question, what you wanted to talk about. You have to find out and have to know that you know that you know that you can't gain that which is blessed by using this which is cursed. It can't happen. All it will take you is into confusion and getting down on yourself and everything else. It's all his business, but it has to be a willingness. My people are willing in the day of my power. There has to be a willingness to understand. First, you can't understand with the mind. And second, the only way to understand is repentance. A little bit?
Yeah, I was thinking about the revelation of him is not about with your mind going, oh, now I see. You might do that, but the revelation overrides everything. There's no.
Well, it began. Revelation doesn't come without repentance.
Well, fine.
Yeah.
Repent. Now get it. What is that phenomenon?
It's the being overshadowed in the same way Mary was. The overshadowing of the power of God. Now, when these kinds of things, the milk of the word is the studying and trying to understand words. The honey is that which comes from finally saying, it's not my business. I don't understand this. It's your business, Father, to show me. And then when the show me happens, then when that happens, that's the honey.
Yeah.
So the word, it's the land is flowing with milk and honey. And it's flowing here in this land.
Is there a place like in the beginning we use our faculties to try and comprehend?
Well, you try, but you can't.
What's in the book?
You try, but you can't. All you can do is look for, because you'll have to see you in it.
Well, I mean, we do this every morning.
We do it to cause repentance, that's all.
Okay, but we do it. So what are we doing it with? Are we not using some intellectual...
I'm not. I don't know what you're using, but I'm not. I've never learned anything by trying to think about it, about spirit, about God.
So then we're oracles.
Pardon?
I mean, you're like an oracle.
Well, that should be what each of us is. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man speak, let its speech be seasoned with salt.
I wrote down... ask the Father for forgiveness for not understanding? That doesn't make any sense to me.
If you hear something you don't understand, you don't try to understand it with your mind. You say, Father, forgive me for not understanding, for not seeing that which is so apparent.
So is repentance before acknowledging faith?
Yes, because faith then gives everything back to God instead of you trying to do anything. Faith always gives everything back to God.
Even revelation.
Yeah.
Everything. If you keep it for 1 second, it's polluted. Again, there's nothing that I can teach you or anybody else can. The anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you. The only way that teaching happens is because the fullness of him is already within you as you're emptying. And that's what repentance truly is. He will not occupy any place in your being, and you as the temple of the living God where you are. So repentance is always emptying, but it's Father, forgive me for not emptying.
Well, like help me in my unbelief.
Do you understand that about his humility? He cannot, because of his nature, occupy where you're struggling with something. He has to take the lowest seat.
Yeah, he would be like touching a dead body.
Well, it's just his nature. He as the way is humility beyond humility. And that's what's unfortunately not preached.
But at the same time, you have to have confidence that if you invite him to the situation, he'll represent you. He'll answer your prayer or something.
Yeah, because the reason that happens over and over and over again is so that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you, that he is your true self. Now, that's just a philosophy until you go through this over and over and over again. It's always waiting on him rather than being struggling with something.
It's kind of funny how words can do things like, we are one. But where's the I in the we? It's like we are one if there is repentance. Repentance accepts your death.
You can't be one if you're trying to be one.
Yeah.
His works.
That separates you instantly.
His works. And your works have to follow you, not lead you.
You don't need to think about works. Actually, they, like you say, they happen. You don't generate them. You don't.
Yeah, but the natural part of the works of you as the being is you try to figure it out. You try to work it. That's the nature of the beast that has to be seen as pure evil. Once you see it as pure evil, then you welcome your death. It's not something you try to do. Once you see your death in its entirety, then there's no more struggle. You don't have to worry about what your mind is thinking or what you might, you know, how you feel. It's immaterial. But the beginning of this is he's showing us, and I think he has shown us over and over again, wondrous things out of his law. Let's go to Psalm 119.
The law could be described as his nature.
Do what?
It's not the law, his basic nature. I mean, he is the law.
He is Torah made flesh.
Where did you just go?
119.
Psalm 119. Well, it's not where I thought it was.
Verse 18.
Yeah, that's it. Let's start in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now again, you've got to see, there's a reason that this psalm is structured like it is. There's one set of 8 verses for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's almost like the Psalms of Ascent. But it has to be understood, this was written by the Spirit of Christ in David for Christ as he walked the earth for his prayers, and now for Christ in you. It's all about him. The minute you see you in here, then you know you've been deceived. All right. So that was Aleph. Now Beth. Beth would like that. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou. Now, again, people, you read that with your mind, you think that means I have to memorize the scriptures. That's not what it means. My word, Jesus Christ, Jesus is saying to the Christ, I have hid you in my heart. It's hard for us to see this the double nature of Jesus Christ as both Son of Man and Son of God.
So the man Jesus, knowing that it's the two.
We didn't know it completely. He became, there was a slow, with each feast that he's, with each time he read the scriptures, each feast that he went to. you got to hear this. There was a dawning awareness. My God, this is speaking of me. When that awareness was fulfilled, as he emptied of all of it, because his mind was going the same way yours does. His mind, as Son of Man, was doing all this crap. But as this dawning awareness of who he is was overpowering him, then he saw the world as nothing, as vanity and emptiness. And then when he saw it completely, that's when his baptism came. And now the Father could say, this now is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he said, hear ye him. Amen? So, but again, because of our nature, that dawning awareness has to happen in us. It may come suddenly and it may come slowly, but it's still coming. What?
So we, in effect, are having the same walk that he had, because we eventually have to accept what's going on and who we are.
We have to accept this. This is talking about a being that isn't this being. The being that's me isn't this being.
Yeah, but this being
is my life.
In us, as our life, and there's a dawning awareness in us too.
Amen. But and as the awareness grows, then the world goes away.
Yeah, and there's a point where I'm sure he saw the futility of his mind.
Well, he saw the futility of human life, period.
Okay.
That's when he was baptized.
The only thing to do.
And that's when he was baptized.
You can't trust it.
Right. There's nothing about my mind I can trust.
And at that point, the right point, not a forced early baptism, but a point where you understand it, then you're...
So then there's baptism, which is burial. Then there's the mystical 42 months.
Yeah.
Because he's buried before he's baptized, before his cross. Which doesn't make sense. But what's happened... Now, well, let's go on. The word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in the statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandment from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto judgment at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And what's the wondrous thing that you see? You see more and more of him. That's it. And finally, you see that he is your only self. That this being has been masquerading as you all your life. And his purpose has been to keep you alone, to keep you separate, to keep you confused, until finally you see that it's Jesus Christ in you, the only hope of glory. And you join with the saints from all times as part of this mystery of the bride. And you rest, because now you've accepted your death. Now your works will follow you instead of lead you. Amen? You have another day. It was Gary's fault that I got sidetracked and didn't finish today. Might make a note. Gary's fault.
Right. We have another indeterminate period of time.
Oh, Pete, shut up. Shut up. Anybody have any? Did this help any in the understanding what your question was yesterday?
That's
the test.
Well,
if it was narrow, then it would be easy. That's why I would long for the simplicity that said if I named Jesus Christ, I would be shot or hanged or crucified or something. That'd be easy. But as John said, the test is getting more and more subtle. And in my opinion, it's because it's creating the final cosmetic of the bride. The subtleties of shapes and forms of this mystery. It's no longer the bones and the big stuff. It's now the subtlety of that. And so we have. That's why the test now is. That's why God allowed all the inventions to make life easy. Just think about from all of history, up until, you know, relatively recent, there wasn't any electric lights. Wasn't any air conditioning. Wasn't any refrigeration. Mostly there weren't any buildings. Test was easy. From a pure mind standpoint. But now the test is more and more subtle. And that subtlety is where it's blessed, because when the clarity comes and boom, then it's that overshadowing that we talked about. Where you know that you know that you know. It's the sweetness of honey of that revelation that you've seen. So you're not alone in your wishing for it to be narrow.
My seeing on that point is simple. It's, we don't live by our faith, we live by his faith. Which is,
but his faith is not going to be exercised if you're using your tools of the high places or your tools of Babylon. If faith isn't faith unless it's automatic.
Yeah. And if you see it's his, you quit giving it shots. And there's no struggle.
That's why I've said that it's easy as breathing.
Yeah.
There's no more. You lost the battle. The battle is over. You lost. All right. Anybody else? You're invited to these every morning if you want to come. But you have to get up. It means you have to turn your TV off before midnight. Take it, big guy, quickly before I go on a rant.